Will you bow your heads in prayer? Gracious and holy God, we do thank you for the many gifts that you give to persons who have an opportunity to lead in worship this day. We thank you and praise you, knowing that all gifts are a blessing from you, and we thank you. God, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to be here together this morning to worship as we celebrate those opportunities that we may honor and praise you. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts this morning and always, may they be acceptable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we've already read the roll call, and the candles have all been lit, one candle for every person's name who is read. And in closing today, there will be pictures that will be shared of those who have gone to be with God, and a bell will toll for those who have departed this life. Our service today, it follows many, many years of traditions in both Protestant and Catholic churches around the world. All Saints' Day is an intentional day for us to give God our solemn thanks for the lives and to remember the deaths of saints, including those who are very famous and well-known, but also those obscure saints who lived an extremely faithful life amongst their family and their friends. We remember all. This day is intended to be a celebration, but I know that also, in many cases, it's a day of great sadness as we grieve those who are departed from us for their eternity in heaven. And maybe you still, even though a certain loved one did not pass this last year, but this day brings up that remembrance, and therefore we have a table in the gathering place after the service if you would like to go and light a candle in remembrance of anyone who has passed. This day, I often think that this is a day for lots of hugs and words of encouragement. As I turn to Scripture today, Patrick read from Hebrews 12, and I'm going to be focusing on Hebrews 11 today. Hebrews 11 is the Scripture that is often called the Hall of Fame for faithful living. I know that perhaps many of you have visited one or many of the Hall of Fames that are located around the United States as they keep in memory those that are honored within their field. I'm sure that many of you, I'm absolutely certain that Hugh Wolf has probably visited the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. And surely others who are baseball fans have gone there. Or maybe you've visited any one of the other sports halls of fame. In Canton, Ohio, Pro Football Hall of Fame, Massachusetts, the Basketball Hall of Fame, West End, New York for soccer, Charlotte, North Carolina for NASCAR, Newport, Rhode Island for tennis, Minnesota for hockey, Fort Lauderdale for swimming, or just go down the road a bit to in Indianapolis to the NCAA Museum. I didn't know any of those. I had to look them up, I confess. Halls of Fame are not only built for sports, but they're also built to honor the accomplishments of others. If you're a country western fan, perhaps you visited Nashville. Or maybe if you're into rock and roll, you've gone to Cleveland, Ohio and seen that most comprehensive exhibit of Beatles items. And I know that those buildings were elaborately built to hold the memories, the statistics, and the memorabilia, but for the Hall of Fame, for the people of faith, I'll tell you what has been built, and that is the Word of God. In the Word of God is preserved the memory and the listing and the names of some of those who are dearly missed, but who exemplified for us lives of faithfulness, and so their names are preserved in this list. We can also know, just as for an athlete or for a vocalist who is training, that all of that training and all of that work throughout their life is difficult. It's not always an easy road, and it takes great commitment to continue to pursue that and to remain focused. And so is the truth also with faithfulness. Faithfulness is not always an easy road. It's not always the easier road. But in faithfulness, if we remain focused, we can know at the end of our earthly life that we will receive a crown of righteousness. So this day I want to share from you from that chapter 11. And I'm going to read to you first, just the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. Within those first three verses, what I feel we have given to us is the who we have faith in and what faith is. And the who is in the third verse. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not invisible. And we are reminded that our who is God. God who is our creator. God who created all that is from nothing. That is the who that we worship. Ex nihilo, from nothing. God created everything. And in many ways, it's very hard to understand. And in many ways, therefore, to understand this as absolute truth takes faith for us from the very beginning. What is faith? Well, it says in that same scripture, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. Having faith means believing without seeing. Someday, we won't need any faith again anymore, because we will be face to face with our creator and sustainer, and then our eyes will be totally opened wide, and we will worship Jesus in his very presence. But for now, we worship Jesus without seeing him, and we obey without fully understanding at all. Philip Yancey, an author, said, faith means trusting in advance what will only make sense in reverse. Faith means trusting in advance what will only make sense in reverse. And I think that statement is confirmed by the scripture in 2 Corinthians. We live by faith, not by sight. We have to step out in faith first. We have to believe first. And someday we'll see the reality. We need to know that there are two kinds of faith when we talk about faith. First, there is faith that is basically dead. Faith can be simply an intellectual belief and nothing deeper. And that faith is dead. But the second kind of faith is a saving faith. It's a faith that it is exhibited in our life, and therefore it is genuine saving faith. True faith is seen in action, how we live, and I know some say, walk the talk. The gift of faith is given to us by God. And faith shows us then who is God and the true evidence of God. Paul tells us in Romans 12, I appeal to you therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Our founders of the faith were people who went above and beyond what others did. But let's remember that absolutely none of those founders that are listed here were extraordinary people. They were simply ordinary people just like you and I, who made a commitment to their faith and to trust God and trust God's promises and move throughout their life in that way. So I'd like to share the rest of this scripture in the chapter 11. Not that I'm going to read it to you, but I'd like to paraphrase it a little bit for us. And in doing that, I'd also like to lift up some questions for us to consider from these persons' lives. By faith, Abel offered what was acceptable to God, more so than his brother Cain. By faith, Enoch was known as a person who pleased God and was taken up to heaven without dying. By faith, Noah respected God's warning about a flood, built an ark to save his household, while others scoffed him. So, what we need to understand is, people ridiculed Noah for his faith. By faith, Abraham had no idea where he was going or how he was going to get there or even why he was going, but God said, go, and he went. So, What that says to me, he was obedient even when he had absolutely no idea what God was up to in his life, yet he remained obedient. Do you have that kind of faith as we look at these people already? Will you give all and obediently follow God? Let's talk about Sarah. By years and physical aging, Sarah was way past childbearing years. She'd given up ever becoming a mother. She had lost patience and hope. She had lost patience in God. But eventually they were blessed with a child by faith. Would you be willing to give up the very thing that you had waited for? In Abraham's case, his son Isaac. If called to sacrifice your child, could you? Would you? Abraham was willing to trust God in that exact situation. He trusted him to provide what he needed, even in that moment. For me, that experience, that scripture is probably one of the most difficult ones I'd ever struggled through. And within my first semester at seminary, that scripture was identified for me to defend because of my struggle with that. God didn't need my defense. But what I needed to know and to learn was how to grow more deeply in my faith. So I had to work at what I struggled with. By faith, Abraham passed that kind of faith, and he passed it on to his son Isaac, and he passed on to Jacob, who then passed it on to Joseph's sons. And by faith, Joseph, who had been a slave, was thrown in a pit, falsely accused, falsely imprisoned, betrayed and forgotten about, but he never wavered in his faith, always standing on the promises of God. And he even became second in command to the most powerful nation in the world at the time, and it was faith that allowed him to get through all of that. And it was confident faith that he had that he would trust in God. By faith, Moses' parents, they hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. They had enough faith to swim against the current. Makes me ask us, do we have enough faith to swim against the current? By faith, how about Moses himself? He was living in luxury, but he refused to go with the flow, and his whole life changed, but he never wavered, and he continued to follow God. So have you found that road of faith difficult and sometimes too much perhaps to follow? By faith, as Moses led the persons through the desert, he remained faithful, and his faith became stronger than it ever could have been without that opportunity for his faith to grow. By faith, the Israelites marched around Jericho for 7 days, and the wall came crashing down. And faith in God's plan that seemed, well, at least unusual. So faith can call us to make unusual decisions. And finally, by faith, Rahab, what about her? She was a simple prostitute who lived inside the walls of Jericho, and she risked her very life and became part of the lineage of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It would have been so much easier for her to look the other way, and instead of trying to save the Israelites, but to turn them in and say, there they are. But her faith delivered her and her family. How about our faith and your faith? In the last week or so, as I've listened, I listen mostly to Christian radio, so in the last week or so, I've heard a great deal about Martin Luther. This is the 500th year celebrating the Reformation. And so here are great stories about that day, October 31 in 1517, when he nailed his 95 theses on the castle church door in Wittenberg, Germany, and the difference that made, because that was the absolute beginning of the Protestant church. A man of great faith stood up and said that no longer could he agree with the indulgences that the church had been accepting. The saying was, as soon as the coin in the coffer rings, the soul from purgatory springs. He didn't believe in it. He couldn't keep quiet. He spoke out, and that began this whole new revolution. And then years later, 200 years later, as our own founder, John Wesley, knew the teachings and agreed with the Reformation and what Luther had taught, he himself took that Reformation one step further for we as Methodists, emphasizing that faith, by justification by faith, that's not the whole thing. That justification of faith is not enough. John Wesley wanted to emphasize the sanctification that had to happen, which means we had to put our faith in action. And from those early beginnings, the Protestant churches had their beginnings. And those are the saints that have gone before us. And to this day, now we add to the list the saints who have gone to be with God beyond us. I think all of these persons, their lives, what we're begged to ask is this, ourselves, is this question. Does my legacy clearly show my faithfulness in God? When someone tells the story of my life, will they be able to provide instance after instance after instance that points to my faithfulness and to your faithfulness? And I believe that's what this listing, this Hall of Fame, challenges us with today. And as Christians, one of the gifts that we have received is that legacy of Jesus Christ. The gifts that he has given to us in his life and in his death and in his resurrection. And not only do we remember that this day, but we celebrate also the eternal gift that his life and his death and his resurrection means to all of us. And so this day, as we share in communion, may we remember what Jesus Christ has done for us.